Money FM 89.3, best of the evening runway. Culture Club.
Money FM 89.3. It is the evening runway. I'm Elliot Danker, and it's time now for Culture Club. Today we're talking about Bacardi Limited. They've recently released their fifth annual Bacardi Cocktail Trends Report, anticipating some of the key trends that will redefine the cocktail culture and spirits business for the year 2024. Well, the report is created in collaboration with strategic foresight consultancy, the Future Laboratory, or TFL, and it draws on insights from Bacardi-led external research, interviews with bartenders, and also insights from the Future Laboratory. Now, for the first time, Singapore was one of the key countries surveyed to create the report, alongside global cocktail giants such as the United States, United Kingdom, Tokyo as well. So what does it mean as far as Singapore is concerned in the world's cocktail scene? How high is Singapore's barometer when it comes to cocktail trends? Well, helping me out with this, on the line with me is Jacob Bryce, who is Global Advocacy Director at Bacardi. Jacob, good afternoon. How are you?
Elliot, good afternoon. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm a little bit jealous. I hear I'm speaking to you and you are in Puerto Rico right now.
That's right. That's right. We've been here kicking off a celebration for the 70th anniversary of one of the most iconic cocktails in the world, the Piña Colada, which was born at the Caribe Hilton here in Puerto Rico. So, yeah, it's not a tough gig. It's an exciting place to be.
Spiritually, I'm with you right now. Okay, let's talk about Bacardi Limited. It's the largest privately held, family-owned spirits company in the world. What else can you tell us about Bacardi's history? I'll share with you that was my first alcoholic drink.
Well, fantastic. Well, we're very, very lucky that's probably true for lots of people. We have some very iconic brands. So Bacardi Rum is obviously the most famous, and we're lucky to have incredibly wide global distribution with Bacardi Rum, but also with Bombay Sapphire Gin, which is another of our most iconic brands, and now Petroleum Tequila. So, we've got brands in many of the categories that are most appealing to people at the moment. So we tend to find that, we're very lucky. We're experiencing some fantastic growth and diversifying into new parts of the industry as well. And the global trend towards more people drinking better cocktails is definitely one that's great for our business.
Yeah, and talking about cocktails, this is something that's created a lot of interest in the world. And you guys have the Bacardi Cocktail Trends Report 2024. Tell us a little bit about it and the methodology.
Sure. So obviously we're always very fascinated to find out what is the next thing that people will be drinking. And so we decided to go out and find that answer ourselves because it was a question that people were often asking us. So we put it together based on a couple of insights. So we worked together with companies that are looking at everything from, data in bars and restaurants and hotels around the world. So what's trending in terms of sales? And then we work with the Future Lab, as you mentioned. So they're a strategic agency whose job is to work out, based on all of the kind of consumer motivations that we're starting to see, what are people most excited about? And obviously, post-pandemic, there's been a huge amount of change in what's motivating people. And then finally, we have our global ambassador survey. So we have a team of educators, brand ambassadors around the world, and they're constantly in touch with the world's top bartenders, including in Singapore. And they ask those bartenders, what are you seeing people drinking more of or less of? And, what are the drinks that you are starting to hear a lot more about? And what are the ingredients that you think will be part of the future? And we put all of those pieces together, and then we try to work out what are going to be the five or six, biggest trends that are going to shape the industry over the next year or two.
I got to be one of these ambassadors one day. I'm pretty sure I can shape some trends.
Elliot, we would love to have you, but you're very lucky. It sounds glamorous, I guess. But in terms of traveling the world, although of course Singapore now is now a global cocktail capital as well. So perhaps you can start there.
And it's interesting that you bring up, right, global cocktail capital, that type of thing. I'll get into Singapore a little bit more, but in terms of cocktail trends,
sure.
What have you observe, say, over the past 5 years, since this is the fifth report that you guys have put up, more people enjoying cocktails as compared with previous years?
Yeah, so that is the number one kind of macro trend, if you like, that we see worldwide, is that cocktails have become truly global. So they're now available everywhere and people are drinking them everywhere. So, you know, wine and beer obviously have a large head start on us versus cocktails. But I think what you're starting to see over the last 5 years is a combination of, you know, consumers are much more interested in cocktails. They see people drinking cocktails in London and New York and Tokyo. They want to replicate that around the world. Greater confidence and professionalization from bartenders themselves. So bartenders are much more skilled now than they were, you know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. And then ultimately, I think another driver for it is people are going out less often, but when they do go out, they want those occasions to be really special. So they want to go to bars, which are much more interesting. They want to drink drinks, which are much more interesting. They want, obviously, we, you know, in Singapore, just like the rest of the world, people want those drinks to be Instagrammable, to be something you can share on social media. And to be completely honest, you know, cocktails are just more interesting than beer or wine is in terms of, you know, that consumer experience. And so we're seeing cocktails being consumed much more widely, much more often, and much more places. And so that's a really fantastic thing.
It's quite interesting. And I just wanted to chime in there by saying, would you say it's more people like it as an experience? Gone are the days where indulging in alcohol is a not so nice pastime, as some people would say.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it's to some extent, it's a culinary tradition, you know, cocktails. So, you know, the way in which you are drinking them, you tend to be drinking them before a meal or after a meal. And I think the same skill is going into the creation of your cocktails as, you know, is being used by a great chef to prepare a dish at a fancy restaurant. So I think, and I think you can see that, you know, around the world. So yes, I know cocktails sometimes have had a reputation for being something that you drink when you don't want to taste the alcohol, but actually what consumers are telling us is now that's completely the opposite. What they really want is they want really great spirits, premium spirit brands, and they want to be able to taste them, and they want them to be created in the hands of a great bartender. And so cocktails have become something that you now go out and enjoy, whereas once upon a time they were just something you drank when you were out with your friends. But now people are saying, shall we go out for cocktails tonight? Which is quite a different thing to say 10 years ago.
It's amazing that you put it that way. People going after that quality now. What does it say as far as Singapore cocktail trends are concerned? I bring this up because I believe we had the Asia 50 Best Bars list sometime late last year. You got like 10 Singapore bars on that list.
Yes.
There seems to be this growing culture or culinary acceptance, if I put it that way.
Yeah, so I think Singapore specifically is, you know, and I think is becoming a cocktail destination, just in the same way that it's become a food, you know, it's become legendary around the world as a food destination. So it's no surprise that following just behind that kind of incredible food culture would come an incredible cocktail culture. So I think, yeah, you're exactly right. So Singapore completely over indexes, if you like, you know, when you think about the size of the city and the number of cities in Asia, in terms of that 50 best list, and there's three Singapore bars in the world's 50 best list as well, which is another, you know, recognition of the extraordinary bar scene that you now have. I think it says, well, it says a couple of things. It says that, you know, there's an evolution and there's a maturity in the Singapore market in terms of what people now want to go out and see. I think there is an incredible sophistication among Singapore's bartenders. Your bars and bartenders are of an extraordinary quality that the rest of the world is quite envious of. But then the other piece of that is, you know, you can have the supply side, so you can have lots of great bars and you can have lots of great bartenders. But what's very clear in Singapore is you also have high demand.
Yeah.
So you've got lots of Singaporeans now love to go out for cocktails. They're prepared to pay for a great experience. And they want a great cocktail experience with, you know, premium spirits crafted by a great bartender.
Could I put it this way? Then people indulge in this as a way to elevate their lifestyle. So you drink less, but you enjoy a better quality.
Yes, that's one of the other macro trends that we've been seeing over the last 5 to 10 years. So as well as, you know, people drink, there are more cocktails being consumed everywhere in terms of, you know, as a share of, you know, total drinks compared to beer and wine. But the other is people are actually drinking less alcohol than they used to. I know it doesn't say that. When you read in the press, you'll often see lots of horror stories. You know, are young people okay? Rest assured, young people are drinking lots less than the previous generations. But what they are drinking when they go out, they're drinking less drinks, but they want those drinks to be better. And I think that's, you know, that's completely true in Singapore as well. in Singapore, partly because of your climate, you will always have, you know, a default to beer. But I think what you're clearly seeing in Singapore, and it's through the week as well, it's not just, say, Friday and Saturday nights. Mm. You know, people are turning those catch-ups with friends and those drinks after work into special occasions, and they're choosing to drink great cocktails. And I think in Singapore, you also have such a variety of bars. So you've got, you know, international imported bars, you've got homegrown, you know, extraordinary places like Atlas, right in the center of the city, but you've also have, you know, really unique kind of owner-operated venues like Sago House, and Jigger and Pony, which are the equal of any bars in the world. So I think once people realize that, you know, I think what's clearly true is Singaporeans are realizing, wow, we've got such an amazing bar scene here, we need to go out and support it. Mm-hmm. And that becomes a flywheel, to use the business sense. So there's more people drinking cocktails, therefore there's more bartenders to serve them and more great bars to enjoy those cocktails in.
It's a brilliant ecosystem you bring up there. So I'm an Aperol Spritz kind of guy, but which spirit are we seeing as far as the growth in interest is concerned?
So the two places where we're seeing the most growth in consumption. So we're in the middle of a gin boom at the moment, partly driven by you know, producers such as Bombay Sapphire creating newer innovations such as Bombay Sapphire Premier Cru, which is a sort of elevated version of our standard Bombay Sapphire. You're also seeing a growing interest in agave spirits, so tequila and mezcal. So people are drinking more margaritas and palomas, and that's really starting to boom. But you're also seeing, as you allude to with the spritz, people are starting to drink, you know, wanting to drink lower alcohol cocktails and giving them more options. So we're seeing a lot of that trend. And so one of the drink of last summer, at least summer in the Northern Hemisphere, was a drink called the Hugo Spritz. Mm. It was made with an elderflower liqueur called Saint-Germain, mint, lime, soda, and sparkling wine. It sort of came out of the European Alps. It became a drink that you drank in summer, kind of post-après ski and getting into the summer season, and it took off last year, and it became a phenomenon. So, Elliot, if you love a spritz, then look for a Saint-Germain Hugo spritz when you're out and about this week.
That is absolutely on my list. Thank you for that, Jacob. What's this about trusting AI to recommend us a drink? You guys said something on that. Tell us a little bit more.
Yeah, sure. So obviously, as I'm sure you probably know, you talk to enough business leaders generally, is if you want to get attention, you just have to put AI in front of something that you'd normally say. And so there is an element of, you know, trying just to catch a wave and catch a trend. But obviously, we are starting to see AI being used in two ways we think that it might revolutionize the drinks world. But the first is accessibility of all of that computing power gives you access to vast amounts of information about what consumers already like. And so we're thinking, you know, we're using it, everything from our distillers and our blenders, to start thinking about, if I'm creating a new blend or a new product, how can I map, you know, the vast amounts of flavor notes and molecules that are in the drinks that we create. Mm-hmm. How can we map those into working out where tastes are going?
Okay.
But the other is in cocktail creation. So bartenders are incredibly creative already, but what if we had access to the tens of thousands of cocktails that are already being created and then used AI to sort of point the way based on consumer trends about where things may be going?
Mm.
And then the other component, so that's an unbelievable, because once upon a time, the process of cocktail creation has been a little bit haphazard. So this is, you know, definitely a clear way in which, you know, you can map all of that information and think about where might the next cocktail be going. But another simple way that people are doing it is in terms of cocktail menus. So if people want to understand, you know, what will this drink taste like, or what is it going to look like, you can use the AI photo editing and creation skills to visualize what the cocktail might look like. And so that's an incredible way. I think you're going to see visual representations of cocktails on menus much more regularly as people unlock some of that power. But one thing on the flip side that is quite clear is that people don't want too much technology in their bars.
Yeah.
Even in a tech-obsessed city like Singapore, they're actually going to bars so that they can get away from some of that technology. What they really want is the human touch. So to have an interaction with a bartender that wants to take care of them, and most importantly, to have that moment of connection with their friends.
Mm. So based on this, right, what are Bacardi's plans for the rest of the year? How will you guys respond to these trends?
Yeah, so these trends, I mean, I'm pleased to say that not all of them come as a surprise to us. So, you know, they're based on things that, you know, changes in consumer behavior and that sort of thing. But there are, you know, the key trends, I think, for us, you know, we're seeing, you know, we focus a lot on, you know, trying to promote the various brands that map onto these trends. So, you know, things like, you know, drinks that have a destination cachet. Well, you know, the Hugo Spritz, which came from the European Alps. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a drink both that we want to make sure that when, you know, travelers are traveling to Europe, that that drink is available. So we make sure that, you know, we get, you know, great distribution of that cocktail, that bartenders this summer in Europe know exactly how to make it, so that when perhaps, Elliot, if you come to Europe, you can seek this drink out. And when you find it, you can have one that's exceptionally made. Mm-hmm. And then the other is that, you know, mapping our activity onto, you know, the brands of the categories where we see lots and lots of growth. So agave is a great example for us. So we have a tequila Patron, which is one of our brands, which we're obviously investing very heavily in terms of bartender education, consumer education, because that's the, you know, that's where we see the future in terms of what consumers are going to want to be drinking. So it's, you know, we map everything from, you know, what drinks are you going to see in media and drinks you're going to see sort of advertised and promoted, to where are we investing in education. Mm-hmm. And then probably the other pieces that starts to tell us where are the places where people are going to be drinking. And the great thing about Asia Pacific is that's currently the region with, you know, the highest levels of consumer optimism in the world. And it's the place where we're seeing the fastest growth in cocktail culture. So probably what the trends report is also telling me is I should come to Singapore more often.
Yes, and I'll be waiting for that cocktail session between us. Thank you so much for sharing your insights.
Fantastic.
Jacob Reyes, Global Advocacy Director for Bacardi, on the line with us. Jacob, thank you again for your time.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at audio.sg or download the audio app. That's AWEDIO, audio, at the App Store and Google Play.